Before we get started on the Earfluence podcast, for those of you in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, we'd like to tell you about the Miracle Moments Luncheon to benefit Easter Seals UCP Port Health. Earfluence, which produces this podcast, is a proud sponsor, and we'd like you to join us May 1st, 2024 at 11:30 Eastern Time at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary. This event helps raise funds and awareness for the life-changing direct services provided to more than 40,000 children, adults, and families living with disabilities, mental health, and substance challenges so they can live their best lives. We'll put more information on Easter Seals and the luncheon in the show notes, but again, that's Wednesday, May 1st at 11:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary, and we hope to see you there.
We have a physical space that people can come to every day and feel a part of something. And that's what life is about.
Wow. I think this is the only cafe where I average about 5 hugs a visit.
And it's so awesome. You can't even get in the door without getting a hug.
I think it's the only one.
Yes.
So we're talking about sort of like the end product of several years of building that community. What was the initial response when you came to the community?
I think people think I was Looney Tunes.
We all have a voice. With this podcast, we have a platform. We have an audience. That's you listening to this. And you have a network of family, friends, and colleagues. But what do we do with that voice, with that platform, with that audience, with that network? How do we leverage what we have to amplify the good in our community, to showcase the people who are truly making a difference? I'm Jason Gillikin, CEO of Earfluence, and you're listening to Charity Champions, a series that focuses on charities in the Triangle area. Each episode will feature a different host talking to someone who's giving back and focusing their time on helping others. Today's episode is hosted by Terrence Ruth, who has the signs T-Ruth or Truth that you see all over Raleigh because he's running for mayor. He's also a leader in the community and donates his time to several causes, including the board of directors at A Place at the Table. And that's who we're featuring today, Place at the Table founder and CEO Maggie Kane. Here's Terrence Ruth.
Hello, and welcome to Charity Champions, presented by Earfluence Media. I'm Terrence Ruth, and I'm an assistant professor in the Department of School of Social Work at NC State University. I am the future mayor of Raleigh. And for the purposes of this conversation, I am a proud member of the board of directors at A Place at the Table.
They paid you to say that, right?
Joining me today is the visionary herself, the founder, the executive director at A Place at the Table, Maggie Kane. Maggie, welcome to Charity Champions.
Oh my gosh, this is the best. I cannot believe I get the opportunity to one, sit down with your busy self and have a conversation, but also like be able to do this with you. So thanks for having me.
It is always a pleasure to be with Maggie the Great. So the first question, Maggie, this podcast is all about bringing awareness of nonprofit organizations in the Triangle area. And A Place at the Table has been giving back to this community since 2015. Can you tell the audience what your restaurant is all about?
God, 2015. It almost feels like yesterday, and it also feels like 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But thank you for that question. We are so lucky. You say we've been giving back all this time, but for us, we have been getting so much out of it. Mm. We, as A Place at the Table, for all who do not know, we are a pay-what-you-can nonprofit restaurant. So what that means is when you walk in, it looks and feels like a normal restaurant. But it's a little different. You get up to the register and you start to see some explainer signs and you see that all of our prices are pay what you can. So some people pay the suggested price that we have. Some people pay more and pay it forward. Some people pay less because we know some weeks are harder than others and all you can do is just pay less. And some people volunteer for their meal. Our mission is community and good food for all regardless of means. And so, yes, we are fighting food insecurity and we're feeding a ton of awesome folks every single day that need a meal in our community. But we are also feeding folks a community of people. We are providing this community space for so many people and really fighting that community insecurity, that loneliness that so many of us feel. So we use, wrapping it up, we use good food as our tool to creating community and bringing people together in a common space.
Now, pre A Place at the Table, Maggie.
Ooh.
How
I don't even remember that.
How did you get to this concept? This is the only place or one of the very few places in the city where you can come in and be served by anybody mm-hmm. or sit next to anybody mm-hmm. and it feels welcoming to all parties. Mm-hmm. You can go right next door, theoretically, in this same street mm-hmm. and not feel that same comfort from the same human beings that go into the store right next door. How did you create that? Like, what mm-hmm. vision, what was a part of that that created that? This sort of vision, this atmosphere to have a cafe like this.
Oh, thank you for saying that and for feeling it. I like can see you in your face that you feel that warmth when you walk in here. Yeah. It's the warmth I feel. It's the warmth so many people say they feel when they walk in these doors. I had the fortune of going to NC State and going to college. Go Pack. And I when I was in school, I ran across a day shelter. I heard a speaker at an event that was a part of a day shelter here in Raleigh that was about to open. This day shelter is not a night shelter where folks can sleep. A lot of us have heard of what an evening or night shelter is, but a day shelter is a place for people experiencing homelessness or people experiencing some sort of extreme poverty can go and be in the day. So this day shelter was opening back in 2013, 2014, and I got involved. I ended up, I was talking to a professor the other day, and I said, and it was actually to a big group of students, about 200, and I said, I actually skipped class a lot. And then I had to look at the professor in the eyes and say, okay, I shouldn't have said that to your college students. But I did because I was so passionate about this work and so passionate about the amazing humans I was able to meet every day at this shelter. It was a place where people could come in, get off the streets, get a cup of coffee on a cold day like today, get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and again, just have a place to be. And so while I was there, I ended up graduating college. Again, so fortunate to have graduated school and accepted a job with this day shelter and got to know many more folks on the street and spent intentional time with them. And for me, along with many of us, I'm sure, who are listening, spending time with someone and getting to know someone is done through food, coffee, whatever it may be. Food is that tool to bringing people together and allowing you to be in relationship with someone new or someone in your life. And so I started to eat with folks experiencing homelessness. And eating with folks experiencing homelessness means you end up at the soup kitchen a lot. And the soup kitchen in Raleigh is incredible. Hear me say that. They feed 300 people in an hour. It's amazing the work they can do. And they've been doing it for so long. It's just really commendable work. They're really fighting food insecurity. But I would go to the soup kitchen. We would stand in line. We'd get handed a plate really quickly because they're feeding 300 people. Yeah. They got to get people in and out, right? Yeah. And so I knew that it was so different than my life experience where I could spend hours with someone and I can choose what I want to eat. And so I started taking folks out for meals, and my friend John changed my life forever. My friend John had been homeless and living on the streets for a couple months. So John, we went to Golden Corral for about the third time, and I asked him that third time. I said, John, you've wanted to come to Golden Corral now three times. Why? Is it because you can eat a lot of food? Is it because of the chocolate fountain? I wasn't sure. And actually, I was the only one eating the chocolate fountain in that relationship. But John said, no, Maggie, that's not it at all. I have chosen Golden Corral for two reasons. I have choice. Here I get to choose. Living on the streets and living in this extreme poverty, people make every choice for me, from where I sleep to what I eat. Here I get to choose if I want a waffle or if I want a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit or I want green beans. I get to choose and make that choice. And the second is I feel seen here. I feel heard here. Someone greets me at the door. They walk around and see if I need a refill. They come around. They acknowledge me. They say bye as I'm leaving. He said, living on the streets, Maggie, people treat me as invisible. They don't see me. They walk right past me. They walk over me. He said, I've never felt this unseen in my life. And for me, that was that mic drop moment for me. And it was at the same time, too, the day shelter I was working at was, I don't know if y'all remember this, the hashtag Biscuitgate. So it was right around the time Twitter was like going crazy with the hashtags, and hashtag Biscuitgate. And we were serving biscuit sandwiches every single Saturday and Sunday. I mean, I did it for 4 years, and I can only imagine how many years they did it before that in Moore Square Park. And we were told we were not allowed to serve there on this random day in 2014, end of 2014. And so hashtag Biscuitgate happened. And really that was, I mean, of course there's been a divide between people with money and people without money for years and years. But this was really eye-opening to so many people in our city of gentrification is happening. It's real. We have to address this. And people with money are going one way and people without money are going the other. And we will not be a connected city if we don't do something about this. Fast forward, Oak City Cares happened. Amazing. It was Oak City Outreach Center, became Oak City Cares, the multi-service organization that works with so many people living in poverty. So anyway, I say all that to say it was a long story. Thank you for listening and appeasing me. But in that moment in 2014, I said, okay, we've got to do something about this. We have to create a place where everyone can come together. Everyone can come literally to the table and feel dignified, welcome, seen, have choice, and the list goes on.
Wow. Now, it's amazing to hear you share it, and you have passion when you share it, and it's another thing to see it, like when you come into the cafe. So I appreciate you allowing your vision to come to life. And so along that story, restaurants aren't cheap.
No.
We all know that.
No, or easy, or.
So how did you get the funding to get this off the ground, get this amazing vision off the ground?
No, restaurants are not cheap and they are not easy. I look up to so many of our restaurateurs in this city, some of the best restaurateurs, because it is not an easy business. And again, it is not a cheap business. We are very fortunate that we are a nonprofit restaurant, so it looks a little different. And I'll tell you a little bit about that. But first, we started working on this in 2014 and we did not open until January 8th of 2018. And everyone always asks, so what were you doing? Were you raising the money that you needed to open up your restaurant in 2018 for those 4 years? And were you fundraising is what people really ask. And I say, no, we were not fundraising. We were friend raising. And no, I did not make up that word. I wish I did. So whoever did, I don't remember. But whoever did, it's a great term and concept because it is the definition of a place at the table, friend raising. We, from 2014 to 2018, we made friends. We had no money in the bank. I don't know how we even ever thought we would open as soon as we thought we would back in 2014. But we just made friends and we told the story and we brought people into a place at the table, to the table, literally, before we had a table, to really get this off the ground. In 2017, when York Properties, who I will forever love, York Properties came to us and said, we may have a space that you could rent. This was August of 2017. We then called on all of those friends from 2014 to 2018 and said, hey, we are ready. Thank you for your support over the years. We would love for you to be involved. And we raised the money overnight to make this happen. And wow, we had hundreds of people give money. Thank the Lord. It was such a gift for us. Give money, but also give time, give in-kind things like concrete, give refrigerators, give anything that we needed. Really, people stepped up and gave. So I always say this, a place at the table is not Maggie Kane. It is not our board of directors, that's right, Terrence. That's right. It is the community's cafe. That's right. They stepped up in 2014. They stepped up in 2018 to open our doors. Wow. And they continue to step up to make it happen every single day. Currently, we also, as a restaurant, when you ask about the affordability of it, it is still not cheap, FYI, and it still will never be cheap. But we are able to fundraise and continue to fundraise. So that is folks in this community, so many of you who are listening that help us pay our bills, pay our awesome team, and be able to do the mission we do every day.
Well, I gotta say, I've attended the last two fundraisers, and the size is unbelievable. And I say that because this cafe has become like the darling of the city, like the city champions. Everyone, place at the table, I know it. I know Maggie, I know place at the table. And it's amazing to see how your vision has sort of sat in people's hearts. And so now it's more than just food, and it's more than just, it's an actual community. Yep. It's an actual relationship, networks of relationships. And so I just would like to just hear your thoughts around this idea of the fundraiser becoming its own thing. People marked their calendar. Yeah. They're going to be at a place at the table fundraiser. It was like 300 to 400 people, the last one. I mean, very impressive. And I just would like to hear how did it move to the place that it is now, to where now it's a place you have to be.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for saying that. You two are the best dressed humans in that whole room. Just FYI. I'm sure Kiara would love to hear that because she really is. In all seriousness, we love that event. So thank you for saying that. It's such a fun time because we invite anyone and everyone. Yes, of course, there's a cost to it, like any fundraiser, because we do have to make our budget. We do have to be able to pay our bills and pay our staff. But we make sure that we include many, many tickets to folks who can't necessarily afford their ticket, right? We want it to be and look just like the community looks every single day. And so that is important to us. And so I say that to say that how has it gotten that way? I think I'll also say we're very lucky to have a physical space where people can come into every day and feel a part of something and then have an event like that where people can come to and feel a part of it. But it's pure luck over the years, honestly. It's the community making it happen. It's pure luck that it has happened, that people have resonated with our mission. And everyone resonates with community and food. Yeah. I know, and if you say no, everyone loves to eat. If you don't love to eat, so weird, okay? So everyone loves to eat good food, which we have. And two, everyone loves community needs community. COVID taught us anything, it's the need for people in our lives. That's right. And so we at table are so fortunate that you can walk in this door and immediately get community.
That's right.
And I say, if you want to eat here and you don't want to be bothered, don't come. This is like, someone is going to come over and ask you if you need a refill of your water and you already have a full cup of water. Like, you're probably going to be bothered, but I feel that community is what life is about.
Right.
There's a study that our board has passed around on the idea of, you know, loneliness, and that the pandemic has taught us that people are really lonely and people need each other, and people thrive, and people's lives can thrive when they're in community with people. So go back to what your question was, is I think it's because we have a physical space that people can come to every day and feel a part of something. And that's what life is about.
Wow. I think this is the only cafe where I average about 5 hugs a visit.
And it's so awesome. You can't even get in the door without getting a hug.
I think it's the only one.
Yes.
So we're talking about sort of like the end product of several years of building that community. What was the initial response when you came to the community?
I think people think I was Looney Tunes, like Bagoon. Like, I don't know. It's so funny to think back about that time. And I was speaking to a college class, as I said, a couple days ago. And I said to them, when I started thinking about building a common space where people could come together and have choice and feel welcome, I found the pay what you can system, and I found that it existed in other places. And so I went up to visit the closest one in Boone, North Carolina. They are some of my greatest friends. Talked to Renee, the executive director, this morning. And I saw that they were doing that work on King Street in Boone, and said, if they can do it, then we can too. I brought 5 or 6 different people up to visit it, thinking they're going to tell me, I was 23 at the time, they're going to tell me, no, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Like, go live your life. That's like loony. Don't do it. That's bananas. And no one said no.
Wow.
Everyone said, yeah, let's do it. Wow. I actually think though, I think back to it, and I'm like, they probably thought, she's never going to, there's no way. Like, let's just like appease her for a minute. And no one said no. Everyone said, that sounds like a really great idea to do. And so we started working on it, and slowly people just started bringing their expertise to the table and wanting to get involved. What I also told, you know, this college group yesterday was, don't ever be afraid to ask for help. And so we just started pulling people in to help in the way they could help. Hey, can you help with this event? Hey, can you help read this legal document? Hey, can you help put some numbers together of what a restaurant would look like? Hey, you have restaurant experience. Can you come help? And people started just really getting involved that way. And so, yes, I definitely – so those are the positives. The negatives were, that will never work. Landlords did not want us in their space. No, that is – people are going to take advantage. you know, there's no way that people would come and volunteer for their meal. There's no way people wouldn't come and just like scam the system. But I think I think we've found that a lot of those people have now like are frequent diners and donors.
That's right.
Because they see that it works.
That's right. I am just floored by how you push through that narrative. I have been an educator in some of the most underinvested communities in this city, in this county. And you don't receive visitors from outside of that neighborhood. And you're in the heartbeat, the growing, the most dense and growing part of our city. And people are still coming and convening in this place to be in community, despite the early initial responses. So recently...
And we made sure it was going to be right in the heart of it. We made sure we were not going to be on the outskirts. We were going to be a place where everyone could be.
And I think that this spot is now defined by the work you do. When people think of this street,
the work we do, yes,
we do.
Correction.
Now. Recently, you speak all the time, but recently you spoke at William Peace University. And said, we are a place where the second you walk in the door, you belong. No matter who you are, you belong. And you sort of touched on this, but can you go a little bit into a little bit more details around how do you create that atmosphere?
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Thanks for that question. It's so true. Every minute I walk in this door, I just know I belong. I feel that. Someone greets me at the door. You know, it's usually Mr. John who's here 2 days a week and he greets me. Someone runs over and gives a hug. Someone comments on my Nikes that I'm wearing, right? And that's not just me.
Yes.
It's anyone who walks in the door. For us, the idea of belonging, it is like top of our values, that and dignity and a few others. But the idea of belonging is critical. We all, the sense of belonging is one of the most important things that we can feel in our lives. Again, will help us thrive in everything else we do. But we know at a place at the table that there will always be a door greeter when you walk in. We want you to feel that when you walk in that door, you're going to understand who and what we are. You're going to feel like, one, you're going to feel greeted and acknowledged and seen, but you're also going to feel like you understand how this works because we know that it's scary. Pay what you can is scary. There's shame that could be involved in it. There's you don't understand the concept. And so we want you to feel like you fully know as soon as you walk in that you are welcome and that you understand what you are walking into. We also have explainer signs everywhere that point that out. Our staff is number one most important part of our mission because they make you feel like you belong. Each one of them are intentionally on our team because they want to make you feel like you belong. They get it. They know the importance of belonging and community. We recently hired one of the best hires, I think, you know, we should have done it 4 years ago. We hired a community and de-escalation specialist. She is badass. Her name is Cheyenne, and her job is to walk around and love people. Literally. I told her she has the best job in the whole cafe. She walks around and makes sure people feel loved and that they are known and that they are seen. Hence again, belonging. You know, it goes to our staff and our volunteers that are number one making people feel like they belong.
You know, I've watched the very subtle things. One, how she engages people and love on people.
Yeah.
I have never heard of that position anywhere else.
Yeah.
I've never heard a position where your job is just to go and engage and care.
Love people.
That is it.
Doesn't that sound like the dream job?
I mean, I've been in several places where a diverse community is being served, and I've never heard of that position. The second thing, how deliberate you are in the cafe is around asking for payment or asking for what you want or need. It's a subtle change of words. That doesn't provide a barrier for somebody feeling that they can't afford or they can't. There's very little things that you do and it's sort of normalizing your day to day, but it's noticeable for somebody who's coming to visit. Now, I came on the board during the pandemic.
Yeah, lucky us. Good time to come.
And it's amazing to me how you still created community outside. How did y'all pull that off? Because most restaurants. We're just trying to stay alive.
Yeah. Oh, God.
On top of staying alive, you had to still keep that comfort, that community that you were sort of creating indoors. Yes. How did y'all do that outside?
Oh my gosh, such a great question. I've said this now five times, but our awesome team. You hire really great people who are better than you at everything. Yeah. So our awesome staff, everyone, it was all hands on deck. Folks that are all behind the scenes were doing all front of house, answering phones and loving on people outside. So really it's an awesome staff of people that knew the importance of community in a time where you felt so isolated and alone. And so they knew that they needed to be out there in line, chatting with people, loving people, hugging people. Yes. You get more hugs in here, five. Yeah. Think about being out there. You get a lot more. Having an awesome team that does that. Being intentional about how are we, we had weekly conversations with our staff and board of how can we create community when the world's against us right now.
Yes.
And we just have to feed people. Yes. So having intentional conversations around that, what that could look like.
And I remember you debating around what condensed menu can you have so that people feel the quality of the food and the quality of the community. And just that debate just showed me how much the mission is sort of saturated in everything, every decision you make. And so I was really impressed with that. I want to pivot just a little bit. As you know, Maggie, I'm running for mayor.
No, I had no idea.
When I get elected,
yeah,
what can I do to help combat food insecurity in our community? We know that the numbers are increasing, and we know that some people during 2020 entered homelessness and food insecurity for the first time.
Yep.
And so what can I do?
Sure. Yeah. I think we all are seeing that more and more. I think many of us are experiencing that more. Yeah. We as a team at A Place at the Table have always committed to paying a living wage. Mm. And when we started in 2018, a living wage wasn't even $15 an hour. Yeah. And that was what it was, we were going to be, it was up against to be $15 an hour. And now it is $19 an hour. Just think about that, right? People cannot afford to live. And then you add it, that's for a single person. You add a child in there and it doubles, triples almost. So we have seen, to your point, we've seen hunger and so many more people coming in every single day, new folks, new faces. And so for outside folks from A Place at the Table, what can local elections do? They can really just listen to the community of what the community needs, listen to what folks who are actually experiencing it need and what their thoughts are. We have 150 people that are coming in every single day to get a meal and pay what they can. And the ideas they have are can be life-changing for them. So I think listen. I think two things that I have heard you talk about and focus on: affordable housing. Every single day, we have here folks that come and ask us, "Hey, I have a voucher. Where am I supposed to stay? Wow. Hey, is there anyone is there any rooming house you've heard of or any place I can go?" And we have an awesome woman here named Shelby. She comes every Wednesday and volunteers with us, and she works for housing in Raleigh, in the city of Raleigh. And so she is really helping connect people to housing, but there's just not a lot of it. Yeah. And we all know that. We don't have to say that, we don't have to get into any more details other than that. So I think housing, and I think a third is transportation. So really working on the transportation piece. We would love to have more and more people come and eat with us every single day, but transportation is a big barrier to that.
No, I appreciate how valuable Table is to those who are unhoused. Mm-hmm. That their transportation is most of the time their arms and legs.
Yes.
And they come here dedicated on a certain day to come and be a part of this community. And for there to be transportation that will allow for them to get here and enjoy this community, that would be tremendous. I have a sort of a softer question.
Mm.
Roughly how many meals have you donated?
Ooh, yeah. we... the first year we thought we were, I mean, truly like crushing it. We thought we were doing really great. We did about 12,000 free meals in the first year in 2018. And then in 2020, in the pandemic year, we did about 30,000. Wow. And so since then, we're now looking at about 150, 160 thousand meals to folks. And every day we do about 100 to 150, you pay what you can, free volunteer meals.
Wow.
So softer a lot, you know, it's a lot. It was so fortunate.
I'm counting your biscuit. I know you have a biscuit count.
Biscuit count. there's a lot of bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits. I did hear a couple days ago that our biscuits are better than Bojangles.
I have to say that you have hired one of the best chefs.
The best.
And I mean, just hands down.
Best.
And not just in his craft and his skill, but the human being. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. By far, that was such a great hire.
I will say quickly, he really is. He has been a game changer to our organization. Been with us for almost 4.5 years now, and is a gift. He not only knows how to make that best bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, but he knows how to love people. He comes from a social work background, and he just like deeply and genuinely cares about people.
Yes.
So we could not be luckier.
I am begging him to bring back the shrimp po' boy. I probably said it like 10 times.
Okay, 11 times, say it and we'll make it happen. That was a good shrimp po' boy Friday.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yep. So, yep. I mean, yep. I'm just letting
you know. Ooh, that sounds good. Okay. He made fried chicken last week. Fried chicken and tater tots. People went nuts. Fried chicken and tater tots. It's a good meal.
No, I'm going to keep begging him for the shrimp po' boy. So you put big weight on your shoulders, like Luisa from Encanto. Hopefully this reference works, man.
I love it. I'm here for it.
Do you feel a lot of that pressure?
Every day. All the time. Right now. In my chest. Absolutely. I absolutely do. We were just telling our leadership team today, like, I feel like I'm floundering. I'm just being transparent. I feel like I'm floundering. I even walked into the class I taught yesterday and said, I am floundering. I am not doing a good job. I was running late. I got lost in the parking deck. And I, you know, it's a lot of pressure, but I think it's more the pressure with the world.
Yeah,
and it's real. Yeah. And like, it's hard. And I think if we're not all feeling some sort of sadness and pressure, then we're kidding ourselves.
That's right.
It's heavy stuff we are all going through. This whole world is going through. And I just remind myself every day that what we are doing here at Table is incredible. And I get to walk in tomorrow morning and get a giant hug.
Yeah.
And that is what life's about.
Now, you've taken a trip to sort of rest for a while. Can you just briefly explain how that rest, how did you rest?
Yes. Oh, good question. So I was very lucky to go and rest and hike, and you're going to laugh at this, but hike the Camino in Spain for 6 weeks. A lot of people have said, how is that rest, Maggie? You walked 500 miles. But for me, it was rest, and I am like the biggest support now of people resting. A big question I've been getting is, what is next for Table? What is next for Maggie? What does that look like? What did you learn on your trip, essentially? And I say, no, I really learned how to rest. Rest is important for us in our lives with the chaos of the world that we were just talking about, the heaviness. We all need rest to be able to be the best at our jobs and to be able to serve the best we can. People need us, and that means you need to take care of yourself and rest. And so this trip taught me that if I don't prioritize myself, that cliche saying, fill my cup, right? Then I will not be able to continue to do this amazing work and get the hugs I get to get every day. So rest for me is number one, first and foremost. And I am hoping that so many of you who are listening also prioritize that, because again, you will not be able to serve all the incredible humans in our community if you don't.
Now, I talk to Maggie often, and every time I'm on the phone with Maggie, she says, are you resting?
Mm-hmm. Terrence has got me on that speed dial is what he's saying, but yes. Because you are busy, and you have so much going on, and you're not only, you know, an incredible father and husband and professor and future mayor and... You know, there's so many things that you do, and if you're not taking care of yourself, then you're not going to be able to take care of mainly a place at a table is bored, but yes. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
And I just appreciate how the things that you ask for of yourself, you also want it for other people.
I hope, and
I like that it's not just, you know, let me rest. You actually ask that question of other people.
Well, and thanks for saying that, but you do too. So how do you rest?
Rest for me is when I'm playing around the house with Miles. Mm. It might drive Kiera crazy.
I'm sure it does.
But that's my sort of woosah moment.
Do you play video games?
No, we actually are running and playing football and basketball.
That would drive me crazy too. Sorry, Kiera.
We are like Nerf guns. We're having a wonderful time. And Kiera is like watching her movie. And
she's trying to watch a reality TV show. Like, come on, go out of the house.
So for us, it's just me and Miles just not thinking about anything else. And then Kiera will join in if it has to do with music.
Cool.
Whenever next time you see her. Music is it.
Well, yes. And hopefully I'll be a band together.
Yes.
Yes. Ultimate music show of the year. Yes. Especially since it's for affordable housing this year.
What they're doing.
They did.
Yeah, really good.
But I will say about rest, Terrence, is what you've always inspired me in since the moment I met you, the day you met you, is when I've asked that question for you, you said Sundays.
Yeah.
Sundays. I turn my phone off. Yeah. I am with my family.
Yeah.
Fully with my family. Yeah. And I have always, I have just always, that's always been a goal of mine is to pick a day and let it be. Let it be a day that you are with your family, with your loved ones, and resting.
That's it. No, I just appreciate the value that you both share for yourself and others. So in wrapping this conversation up, I want to end with ways in which others who are listening can plug in.
Yeah.
So how can people volunteer, donate, and what do volunteers do?
Yeah.
What is the job description?
So cool. Yes. We have many, many amazing volunteers that make A Place at the Table happen. So yes, we have, I didn't say this earlier, we have a full-time staff like our chef I talked about that are executing the food and the coffee and making the product awesome. But we have volunteers that help us do everything else. We could not function without volunteers. So volunteers are running food. If you ever wanted to work in a restaurant, this is it. They are filling people's waters. They are greeting. They are doing dishes, sweeping, mopping, things like that. And we need volunteers to join us. They're also just building community and developing relationships. We sometimes ask volunteers to sit and have a cup of coffee with someone. So I say all that to say, yes, come and volunteer with us. You can find that on our website at tableraleigh.org. It's a super fun, like blast of a volunteer shift. I always say here at Table, it's beautiful chaos. So you are entering basically a reality TV show. And we really could. So if anyone's listening and knows any reality TV shows producers, hello, looking at you. I think it could really make a great show. Come volunteer with us. Check us out. Instagram, Table Raleigh. Facebook, A Place at the Table Raleigh. Our awesome marketing coordinator just got us on LinkedIn.
Wow.
So we posted on LinkedIn. You can really check us out too. Really 8 years later. but yes. And then the second thing I'd say is not just A Place at the Table. Get involved with something. Find your passion and go get involved with them. Terrence and I just mentioned Band Together, which is a big concert at Red Hat every year. And they raise money for a certain cause or causes with the United Way. Currently, it's with the United Way. We're raising money for a few different affordable housing nonprofits and organizations. But if live music is your jam, that's a place to volunteer. If women are your jam, the Women's Center, right? Like, find what you're passionate about and get involved, because this community needs you, and this community needs, you to volunteer and your voice.
No, I appreciate that. And my jam is students. I'm a former teacher and principal. So AMI Kids, Maggie and I, a friend, is a principal of that area, of that school.
AMI Antoine. Kids. Yeah, yeah, hey, yeah. Antoine.
So I do a lot of my sort of shared time there. But like Maggie said, there's so many great organizations that A Place at the Table plug into and help build others. And so, Maggie, thank you so much for joining us today on the Charity Champions podcast presented by Airfluence Media. For all of you listening, if you can, please share this episode with your network so that we can spread the good word about A Place at the Table. Thank you.
And just go vote on November 8th, y'all. Yes. Go vote. It's important. It is important. Terrence, it was so fun to hang with you.
It was a blast, Maggie, always.
That was Maggie Kane with Terrence Ruth, and Table's website again is tablerally.org. If you're interested in learning more about Terrence, his website is truth4rally.com. That's truth, the number 4, rally.com. And on each episode, I challenge you to make a difference in this community, and that's no different today, because you absolutely can make our community a better place. So go volunteer and donate to the causes that mean the most to you. But make sure you go and vote as well. As we're recording this, early voting is open in North Carolina, and if you have any questions on how to vote, you can check out ncvoter.org. I'm Jason Gilkin with Earfluence, and thank you for listening to Charity Champions.